The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 3 minutes past nine. It's Thursday, the 9th of February, 2023. And thank you so much for choosing the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio, your number one local radio station. And it's good to have you on board, as I say. And we have lots coming up in the show. I say it every day. And do I ever lie? I don't think so. It's always really busy, but we always have plenty of space for anything that you want to talk about, any comments that you wish to make. How do you do so? Well, I'll let you know. WhatsApps and texts, 086 6025000, 086 6025000. Donna Marie is answering your phone calls today on 07491 25000. Don't forget, we also love to hear from our diaspora or people listening from outside the Republic. 00353, drop the O, you know, yourself. And if you want to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And we also have the option for you to watch, which is great, particularly for those who are hard of hearing, because we've got captions, which is reason why I started it in the first place. You can watch us live on Highland Radio Ireland on YouTube, on your smart TV, on your Fire Stick. Just to open up the app, search Highland Radio. Like and subscribe, by the way, and hit the bell. I sound like a YouTuber, don't I? And on Facebook too, as I say, on the smart TV. A lot of these apps we don't use, you know. You've bought a nice new TV. It's got Facebook Watch on it. It's got YouTube on it, and you can watch, you know, the likes of this show up on your big screen. Same apps are on your Fire Stick as well. Lots of you out there have Fire Sticks for very honest reasons, I'm 100% sure. But don't forget, you can also access on those platforms as well. It's just more ways for us all to connect and be together and sort stuff out together, isn't it? Right, okay, let's look at the papers. It's a Thursday morning, so there's plenty of them. We'll start with the Derry People Donegal News. A devastated mother who lost her daughter in the Chrysler explosion called T.G. Cahar begging and pleading for a documentary on the tragedy to be delayed. Donna Harper lost her daughter Leona, 14, in the explosion at the service station, which killed 10 people on October 7. The documentary was broadcast last night at 9:30 p.m. A lot of people, I think, thought it was broadcast at 9 and then saw another show was on and thought it had been deferred. But no, they went ahead with it. T.G. Cahar said the documentary focuses on the rescue effort carried out by the ordinary people of Chrysler in the immediate aftermath of the tragedy. However, a number of the victims' families expressed their fear and frustration over the programme, which they were not consulted about or included in. And therein lies the biggest issue for me, I think, in that, you know, it's their tragedy, their loss primarily, and they should have been consulted. The argument, oh well, we didn't want to encroach on their grief by engaging with them, cop out. They should have spoken to them. The programme itself, I mean, obviously, I think we're all familiar with a lot of the contributors who I feel very, very sorry for, in that they kind of found themselves in the middle of it. We did hear of their bravery, what they've been through, how they cope going forward. They are heroes. And as I say, thinking on them last night and this morning, because they've kind of been put in the middle of it there a little bit, because I think people thought it was going to be a different type of thing or it was going to be broadcast later. And as I say, there's a lot of people would have felt raw with that being broadcast that last night. Personally, I took the decision within minutes of hearing of this tragedy not to publish any of the pictures of the explosion, as I viewed it, and we viewed it then as a team. This was, you know, this was people's final resting place, effectively. Not final resting place, but where lives were lost, and we just decided we're never going to show that stuff here on Highland Radio, and that was a decision we made. There was new images last night that I hadn't seen before that I imagine was very difficult for people to see. The drone footage and stuff like that there. Maybe it's because we're local. Maybe we feel it more. It just, personally, I thought I wasn't comfortable with it anyway, but it doesn't matter what I think. And I don't know. I mean, I suppose there was some information that maybe people might be hearing for the first time that maybe an inquest might have been a better place for it. I don't know. As I say, it's not for me to say. It's down to the families and the local community. And when I say the local community too, of course, there are people that lost their lives and were injured and damaged by it that aren't immediately from Chrysler, and we should never, ever forget all of the 10 people that very sadly lost their lives in that explosion. If you want to have a comment on it, because, I mean, it's what a lot of people were talking about, get them into us. We'll see what we do with it in terms of the rest of the morning. WhatsApp or text 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. The Tyrconnell Tribune this morning tells us that Ukraine refugee numbers in Donegal at the end of January are estimated at 4,513, with numbers stabilising over the winter months. This position is expected to change going into spring, when fighting on the battlefront's expected to increase. The Donegal electoral area has the largest number of refugees in the county, with 1,227. So that's the likes of Killybegs, Bundoran, Rossanala, and what have you. The Letterkenny area is providing accommodation for 588 at 12 locations. Inishowen has 658 refugees at 37 locations. The largest number are in Ballyliffin. The Finn Valley has 259, based mainly in Ballybuffet and Stranraer. And finally, Glenties. Well, it's not finally either, is it? 930. And in the Milford electoral area, numbers are reported in the region of 645. On to the Democrat today. A leading nursing home in Donegal has revised its practices following the death of an elderly patient who was given almost 10 times her prescribed medication on two occasions. Strict new measures have been implemented for staff at Larissa Lodge Nursing Home in Letterkenny following the death of Marie Glacken in 2020. In 26 hours prior to her death, Ms. Glacken was administered 10 milligrams of Oxynorm, having been prescribed doses of 1 to 2 milligrams of the drug. The 97-year-old of Main Street Dunlow passed away on May 14th, 2020, and more coverage inside the paper today. The Derry News this morning tells us that it understands the controversial one-way traffic system around the Diamond area of the city is to be scrapped. Councillors are expected to take the decision at Wednesday's meeting of Derry City and Strabane District Council's Environment and Regeneration Committee. The paper obviously went to press just before that decision was taken. The introduction of a temporary one-way traffic management or arrangements along Ferry Quay Street and Upper Carlisle Road were designed with the objective of creating extended pedestrian space on Ferry Quay Street and an associated reduction of vehicle traffic flow along the narrow street. But the arrangement was heavily criticised at the time. Let us go to the Irish Times. And Bertie's back. The return, but this has been on the cards, obviously, because there has been sort of a, what you might call it, particularly on the national airwaves and RTE, there has been a rehabilitation of his character for those who might feel that it does need rehabilitating. For others, he remains and always will be incredibly, incredibly popular. But he's back in the Fianna Fáil party. The return of former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern to the Fianna Fáil fold is appropriate given the passing of time and the forthcoming 25th anniversary of the Belfast Agreement, Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said. Mr. Ahern has rejoined his local party organisation in Dublin Central just over a decade after he quit Fianna Fáil in the wake of the findings of the Mahan Tribunal. The move will ramp up speculation that he will seek to run for the presidency in 2025. Mr. Martin said nothing like that has been discussed. That is just speculation. He just wanted to rejoin his local common. And it's as basic as that, according to Micheál Martin. What do you think? And I don't, I mean, listen, I want to hear too from Fianna Fáil party members as well. Do you believe that this is the right move at the right time? Has enough time passed with his contribution to the peace process? Is it right that he's a member of the party come 2020? What is the date of the anniversary? The 25th anniversary is coming up shortly. And, you know, I suppose if any of us do wrong or what have you, there has to be an opportunity for rehabilitation, doesn't there? What do you think? I think views and that might be quite polarised, but get them into us and we'll try and read out a balance of them for you. It was inevitable anyway, and I was asking Minister Charlie McConnell not so long ago, and I can't recall exactly what he said in the interview, but I think he did recognise his important role in the peace process and what have you. I can't remember his exact answer. The Irish Daily Mail this morning, the end of Our Father in the Lord's Prayer. A gender-neutral God and the end of Our Father prayer could be a step too far for parishioners, some priests fear. The Church of England, now this is the Church of England, is to explore the use of gender-neutral terms, which could see the Lord's Prayer opening line, Our Father, become Our Love, who art in heaven. So instead of Our Father, who art in heaven, it would be Our Love, who art in heaven. Irish priests told the Irish Daily Mail that while they broadly welcomed the introduction of more gender-inclusive language in the liturgy at Mass, adapting prayers which date back more than 2,000 years could provoke a backlash. Dublin priest Father Duffy cautioned that change would not be easy, saying some prayers are deeply ingrained in tradition going back 2,000 years. I don't know how they would approach our Father. Father Willie Cummings, parish priest in County Clare, said that he believes God should remain male as per the Bible. I won't support any change there, he said. However, Ms. Father Cummins said the church should be more inclusive of women in its language. Only today I changed a gospel reading when it said that man was made in God's image. He said, I changed it to we are made in God's image. As I say, these are discussions ongoing from the Church of England. I was going to say mess around, and I don't mean that because it sounds disrespectful, but they change texts what is said at Mass reasonably regularly, don't they? I'm not a big fan of that in any case. I just don't see what problem are they fixing? Who's offended? Is anyone offended that a prayer starts Our Father? Like, I mean, to whom are they trying to appease, if anyone? Maybe it's got nothing to do with genders or what have you. But I don't see how changing Our Father to Our Love is gender inclusive. I don't understand it. Maybe I'm just getting old. Older, I am old. Maybe I'm getting older. I don't understand it. I don't even know what the motivation is, so I can't sort of go, oh, it's a disgrace because they're doing this because of... I mean, the paper said it's because it's more inclusive language, but then again, some people in religion don't see God as male or female. That's another view. It's very important as to why the decision has been taken. I'm not quite sure it's specifically the reason that's outlined in the paper there. I'll do more research on that. We've talked about this before, and it was always... this was a bugbearer of mine. I wasn't one of the complainers, but I've said on this show a couple of times about how some of the electricity providers, one which I was with, claimed that their electricity was all green, right? It was all green energy, right? But at the same time, it's going up and down with the fluctuations in oil and gas, and we know why that is. But I just didn't like the claim because it's misleading, because you think you're doing something really, really good, but in truth, you're not. They're buying credits at best. But anyway, they can't do it any longer. Electricity firms are in the hot water with false 100% green claim. Electricity companies are misleading hundreds of thousands of you out there by claiming to supply 100% renewable power, an advertising watchdog investigation has found. The Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland says the claim investigated in adverts by Energia but used industry-wide must be dropped for marketing materials, because the reality is 30-40% of our fuel is... What else could be scrapped? This... unlimited data, get rid of that, because it's BS. It's not unlimited data. There's fair usage and caps. That's another thing. Why say that? There's loads of them out there. I can't think of them off the top of my head. But anyway, they're not allowed to say it any longer, because 30-40% of the country's electrical needs are generated from wind farms and solar panels. So then how really, in reality and in all fairness, could you say you're providing 100% green electricity when you're sucking it off the same grid? What else annoys you? 086 60 25,000. The Irish Farmers Journal this morning. Weanlings continue to soar in price, with records broken in most nationwide in March nationwide over the last 7 days. A combination of live exporters, factory aligned feedlots and grass buyers are driving the trade, with some exceptional prices being paid for top quality weanlings. Okay, so that's good. I hope that's benefiting the people that are raring them. I'm not a farmer, of course, but I just hope that's good news for the farming community. We all have concerns. Everyone has concerns, I think, and we all chat about what's wrong in this country, what could be right. But there's something very Irish about us, in that we are welcoming, that we can see the woods for the trees, that we can separate out concerns from, you know, race or religion or sexual orientation or whatever it might be. We have, and I've experienced this myself, as I've said it in the program before, we've gone to other countries, honestly gone there to try and better ourselves, and we've faced racism. People go straight to the posters from the 60s and 70s, but people have experienced it individually, even being called Mick or Paddy, or, you know, certain jokes being said in front of you or whatever it is. And unfortunately, I just hope that we're not sort of becoming the people that do that, that we can have issues with certain things, like maybe the numbers of people coming into this country, the pressure on housing, other people not able to get housing, that we can talk about that, but not then turn into, some of us at least, turn into the type of people that would then be racist towards others, as we've experienced that so much ourselves. But some stories are emerging, and I don't want to over-amplify them, but I just want to reference them. It's in the Irish Daily Mirror today. Nurses are facing stab threats, being spat at, kicked and verbally abused at work, a traumatised health worker told a Dáil committee yesterday. Sylvia Chambers was speaking on behalf of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, who were in Leinster House to talk about abuse being suffered by the members in the state health board. The INMO said at least 10 nurses a day are being assaulted in our hospitals. And there's also some then reference to people who are working in the health service then being grouped in with other people that have come here and facing abuse. The Irish Daily Star, and you wonder where this is going to go, Vladimir Zelensky, he's on a tour of Europe. He wants more jets, and he wants jets in Ukraine. And I think there's a general acceptance that if Europe does provide the jets, if America provides the jets, that this is an escalation of the situation. Russia say that that's the case, and I think it's been generally accepted that that is the case here. That being said, without air support after this new Russian offensive, it will be like sending young Ukrainian men, primarily like lambs to the slaughter on the front line. So that's why he's making the argument for these planes, but you just really would be concerned exactly where this is going. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky yesterday told the UK Parliament, "I appeal to you in the world with simple and yet most important words, combat aircraft for Ukraine, wings for freedom." British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has so far only said that he will ask Defence Secretary Ben Wallace to investigate what jets the UK could potentially hand over, but in a press conference with Zelensky insisted nothing is off the table. Now, the truth is though, particularly the high-speed jets, they cost 100 million, and it requires between 3 and 10 years training to fly them. So are they going to give them those jets worth all that money and allow people who aren't trained to fly them to fly them? It wouldn't make a great deal of sense to me, but I don't know what they're going to do there. I just really worry where it's going and the incredible loss of life that's being experienced over there. And finally, Ryan Tuberty insists The Late Late Show should continue hosting Eurosong. Eurovision experts lashed the atrocious sound and peanut butter giveaway as Wild Youth bagged the slot. One said, "We were dying with embarrassment," but Tubbs said, "Every part of the country tunes in." I didn't think it was that bad. There's certain things that I kind of let flow over me, the presentation style, that backroom cringe stuff. Maybe. I didn't mind it. I kind of enjoyed the programme, but, you know, maybe it's time we do something a little bit different. 21 minutes past nine. Good morning to you. It's the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. Any views on what we've just been reading? 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts. If you've never texted a show before, give us a text. Put the number in your phone. Your view is the same as everybody else's. Don't be turning to that person to your right and saying, "Do you know, blah, blah." Tell us and tell the entire Northwest. More and more of you listening all the time to the show too. I'm guessing, I don't know, so I can't say anything, but maybe I'll be able to say something tomorrow. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I haven't seen anything, but it's great if that is the case. We'll see. All right, I want to mention the request Lee referenced just as he handed over earlier on today, and it's happy wedding anniversary to Kay and Ignatius McGlinchey in Raphoe. Hope you have a wonderful day, Kay and Ignatius, and that's coming in from all your family and all of us here too. Caller says, "It's great to see Bertie Hearn rejoining the party. He did a lot of good things, while some bad. Nobody is perfect." Yeah, I mean, that is true. Nobody is perfect. And, you know, it's a little bit like football. You know, Manchester United and Liverpool supporters, you know, quick to highlight mistakes they've made or to wallow in joy at their downfalls as well. There's obviously, you know, people have different political views. What do you think, generally? Greg, "I didn't watch the TG Cahir programme out of respect for the grieving families in Creasler who wished it to be deferred 4 months. 4 months is such a short time since the tragedy with the families waiting for answers. And I wasn't going to watch it either, but I was asked to watch it by a handful of people directly affected, so I did, out of respect to them." Greg, "It's all to please transgender. It's not for other families anymore. We know there are two genders, a male and a female. No other. Might think I'm talking nonsense, but the truth always hurts. Everyone has their own truth, though, don't they? And there are people listening that their truth is different." Quite interesting to hear former President Donald Trump and future president, he would hope, making some very strong statements as to what would happen under his stewardship if he were re-elected. Another caller says, if the energy suppliers say they are giving a large... they're giving large green energy, why is it not cheaper than oil or gas generators? The wind did not go up in price due to the Ukraine war. It's because we have this crazy system where wind energy providers were guaranteed a rate, and it was linked to the... You couldn't make it up, could you? It was linked to the price of electricity generated with fossil fuels and what have you. So even though they were generating a clean energy, they were guaranteed the same rate as other energy generators, which took out the financial incentive for the consumer. But that was a decision that someone made and thought it was a good idea. Just want to let motorists know there's an oil spill on the Ballybuffet to Letterkenny Road. A driver says fellow drivers should be careful. Let's stay on the roads and safety on the roads, and welcome onto the program, PJ. Hiya, PJ.
Good morning, Greg.
Right,
how are you getting on?
I'm doing good. I'm good. Nice to speak to you, PJ. Right, tell us your concerns when you're out driving.
Mike, it's not really a concern. I just want to take... bring attention to the caretaker of the Donegal League football pitch about the floodlights on the AstroTurf. Because as you're coming in from Elliston to the football pitch, once you come around the corner at where Sean Hegarty has his lorries, you get this bright light and you think there's a car coming that hasn't dipped. And as you move closer to the football pitch, it actually gets brighter. And the whole road, there's that much brightness that the road actually is in darkness, which is a contradiction, but it seems to be all black spots.
And yeah, so it's the same as someone with high-powered lights is approaching you with the headlights on. It's hard to see anything else but those lights. Is it that kind of a...
That's the same. That's the situation. And just in case there will be an accident, and probably the people that are involved in this didn't realise this, and it hasn't been brought to their attention. I'm not complaining about the lights being on or anything. It's just that the lights need to be readjusted, that they're tilted down the way and not facing out against oncoming traffic. And the lights that seem to affect are the worst are actually the lights that are on the pitch, the playing pitch side of the AstroTurf. You know the pitch, the Donegal League pitch is behind the AstroTurf. Mm-hmm. Well, it's those set of lights there that are the ones that are causing the problem. Now, I don't know if anybody else has found this or not, but I have driven that road a couple of times in the dark now, and I just find it nearly impossible. And the sad thing is that I think if somebody was even walking and was wearing high-vis clothing, I don't think you would actually see them because of the lights and the black spots that the lights produce.
Yep, okay, well, listen, let's put it out there and say, I know you're not being critical of the league or any individual, you're just saying, are you aware of this? And if you're not, it's something maybe you need to have a look at. We'll throw it out there, and see if anyone else has noticed this. I know you're focused solely on safety, and that's why you've rang us, so we'll see what others say, PJ.
Yeah. I have no problem with the football pitch or the lights or anything.
That's clear.
It's just that they just need to be adjusted, tilted down a little bit, that the glare isn't coming. Like they're so strong that they're actually stronger, I think, than actually driving into another car towards another car that has its full headlights on. You know.
Right, okay. So you're saying they need to put the dips on the pitch. Okay, I get you. PJ, listen...
Well, they just need to tilt it down a bit, you know.
I get you. Right, okay. Listen, leave it with us. We'll see what others say. Thanks, PJ. Take care and safe out on the roads. 08660 25000 is the WhatsApp or text number. Greg, I remember when they changed the responses at Mass. Nobody will get this. Yeah, indeed. And there's a few occasionals who go now and again that probably didn't know the changes were there and found themselves caught out. Not that I know anyone that would fall into that category. Greg, I seen last night a man cutting peat being fined €7,700, but can go to the shop and buy peat wrapped in plastic from Germany. It makes no sense. Indeed, on the face of it, it doesn't seem to make much sense. Right. Okay, you're welcome back to the programme, and we are going to talk about, and maybe it's not going to be for everyone for the next 5 or 10 minutes, so just be aware, we're going to be talking about Shag Week in Letterkenny. Barry Breslin, Welfare Equality Officer with the Students' Union at the ATU Letterkenny, joins us. Good morning to you, Barry.
Morning to you, Greg.
Thanks for calling in. And Aina McDermott, Education Communications Officer with the Students' Union at the same facility. How are you getting on? Thanks for joining us.
The very best, Greg. Thank you for having us.
What's the whole function of Shag Week then?
So Shag Week is a Sexual Health Awareness and Guidance Week. It's not all about shagging, as some people may think. It's a joint campaign run by the HSE and USA, and it's been one of the core campaigns of ATU Students' Union, formerly LYAT, for as long as I can remember anyways. It focuses on sexual health, empowerment, consent, contraception, unplanned pregnancies, the effect of pornography on young people. And it's starting next week on February 13th. We're running events on and off campus just to get the students informed, get talking about sexual health and everything in that realm.
So on the face of it, ain't it, Shag Week, obviously people think it's all about promoting promiscuity or however people might want to describe it, but really what it's about is I presume, recognising that a lot of it goes on anyway, but to make sure that people, you know, do it right, that they protect themselves, that they make sure the other party is consenting, that they avoid illness.
Yep.
It's not quite as exciting as the word Shags Weeks, but that's what it's about really, isn't it?
Yeah, and also the great services provided by for students on campus in terms of contraception. So recently you can now get your coil done, both types of coil, your copper coil, you can get your patch. Every single contraceptive measure is now available to students and is now free for anyone under 25. And also, Barry can talk about some of the events that we're having in terms of educational talks, just to enlighten students on consent and other things.
Yeah, Barry, so it kicks off on Monday.
Yes, so on Monday, as Aina was talking about the various types of contraception that we have available, so to try and gamify some of these things, as sometimes just information stand not as appealing as it sounds, even though you may have sweets and freebies and like that to give away. So what I'm trying to do is gamify it, so like a little tick the box, your list of contraceptions that are available. You have to tick off the ones you think we have. So lucky enough, some of them are like we're taking the joke with them, so people know we're having the crack. So yeah, luckily, and then by the end, you will come away with the sheet, with a list of all information available, and on what concepts we have.
So it's kind of a fun way of approach to educate, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, that's what you got to do, because unfortunately, when you're just putting up information, it's not all that appealing. And then we have other facilities coming in as well. We've done a Donegal Youth Services. They have a campaign going on.
That's
consent.
On Tuesday, the focus,
on Tuesday,
isn't it?
Yep, yeah. That's on the Tuesday. And then following on from there, on our Wednesday, we are rolling out our wellness cafe, which is essentially a coffee morning that we have for students that we're doing on a monthly basis.
Just back to Tuesday, the consent thing is an important issue, and not uniquely, but I think particularly in the third level setting, there can be, you know, it can be quite an issue there. It's very important, I think, that for, you know, everyone knows what consent is.
Oh, absolutely, because it's the end. Because it's like ATU Donegal's international. That in different countries, consent comes in at a different age, and there's essentially a different environment and different attitude towards there. So we got to educate people on what is like around ATU Donegal and what is expected and respected on campus and simply off campus.
And
as
the
well.
Role of alcohol in that situation,
absolutely,
too, and a person's ability to consent as well.
Yes,
all the things that need a great deal of focus right across society, not just as I say at third level. The wellness cafe on Wednesday is. Tell us about that. I mean, that's obviously about promoting positive mental health, I presume.
Yes, and essentially it's a safe space or kind of a break from college life, saying you're feeling the pressure and that. We put on like free teas and coffees and that. And also we try and tie it into some form to our week themes, as we did back in Christmas. We did like a gingerbread making house competition. So we essentially got people together and we give them all the tools provided, the gingerbread, the icing and that. It actually turned out really well. So we're looking to replicate that again with just a little bit more of a sex theme, so where it might have to boo people about the truths and false around pornography. So that's something myself and Aina was able to attend training earlier on in the academic year. We also found it very helpful. And Yeah, that's how Wednesday is going to go. And then on our Thursday, we are getting Women's Aid to come up. They're doing a pop-up stand around their Two Into You campaign. And that's all around healthy relationships. As in college, it can be your first experience with maybe getting into something serious, maybe beyond whatever your secondary school romance may have been. So yeah, that's one of the great opportunities as well. If you cannot attend, say, the pop-up stand along the main corridor, we're then getting there after for an Instagram Live. So you might not even be in college that day, so we may as well feel free. If you do have any questions, yeah, just pop in and we're happy to help.
Yep. Aina, how is student life for the masses at the moment? Is it stressful? Is it more difficult? I mean, obviously, you know, there's people are challenges in terms of funding it, you know, and that feeds into sort of, you know, people's general mental well-being, I think, and there's different triggers as well.
Yeah, obviously, it's changed even in my few years' experience being in college, especially like with students coming out of leaving, coming out of secondary school, not having done their proper exams, and just missing a lot of them, you know, very formative years, not properly socialising. So there's a lot of misunderstanding, and especially like when we did that, Barry mentioned the pornography training just a second ago, that, you know, the way people approach relationships now is so skewed, and and the things that we're hearing coming from younger and younger people is absolutely terrible. Like
that they're getting their education from.
Education, you know, yeah. A perception's being perceived that isn't true.
Which means, say, just to say that women might believe there's certain expectations of them, for example, and fellas might believe that they're that this is how you do it. You know, and I mean, obviously, it depends on people's sexual orientation, but just to use a basic example there, that's... That's not a way to do it, is it?
No, exactly. It's like a scene on TV as such. You think it acts out. It's like, you know, performance is something that's going to be asked in the duration and things like that. So essentially, making a more grounded education is something that we'll be looking to put forward.
Caller says, Greg, can you ask the lads if they think young men will listen better to young men? I've got two teenage boys and want to make sure they respect girls. I mean, I think everyone has a role in it, but certainly a young lad's probably more likely to listen to a positive advice from a peer, you know, someone that doesn't appear like an old fogey or a parental figure, or
Well, in fairness, now it is getting better. Like, they're teaching about consent from the age of five years old onwards, and there is, from what we're hearing, the RSE programs in schools are being majorly overhauled, and they are being taught about not just, you know, like your genitalia. You're taught about like relationships and how to treat people properly, and like, if I'm going to put my hand on Barry's knee here, that, you know, that there's all right, like, and like, when you know when that there's all right, and that there's just starting with the basics, and that there advances as you go on through school, as opposed to, you know, what me and you would have had through school is like, you know, it wasn't talked about at all, you know.
And it's a controversial one, but the reality is that without getting into the ins and outs of it, the only way you know that you are not being mistreated or you're not being abused is if you have some understanding of what that is. I mean, that for me is a basic. You know, I think going back generations and decades ago, there are people who were being told that what was happening to them was okay, it was normal, it was, there was a reason for it, that it was okay, and it was our secret. And that allowed, and we know, that allowed generations and generations of children to be abused, hopefully now children. And I'm not saying what, I'm not 100% sure about all of it, but now a younger person can recognise when something bad's happening to them. You'd hope that's the case. But anyway, that's, it's all tied in, but that's maybe quite separate from what you guys are doing. That's Monday to Thursday on campus. There's loads of stuff happening around the town, presumably as well, the Letterkenny town, that is.
Yep. So we've a couple of nightlife events lined up. So
just a couple.
So on the Tuesday evening, we have Sex Toy Bingo in the Orchard. So basically, instead of numbers, you have so sex paraphernalia, and with the chance to win some sex paraphernalia. And then then the Wednesday night then, so I don't know if you're aware of the Belter Quiz that takes place in the centre every week. It's very popular among students. We've linked in with them, and there's going to be a sex theme on a few of the rounds, and then there's going to be some sex-related prizes, ranging from boxy chocolates to... I won't finish that sentence.
Chocolates, all right, go on.
Wear
green, single and ready to mingle.
Yeah, so then there's the traffic light party as well, and Sister Sarah's, of course. Upon entry, you have the option of free stickers. So one of the stickers will be, you know, you're green, you're single, you're ready to mingle, as you said, Greg. Your orange then is, you know, is a bit complicated. You know, just, you know, if you're wearing the orange light, come up to me and ask me and I'll tell you the situation. And then for the red, you know, taken, don't come near me.
Yeah. All right, okay. We could do that all the time, maybe, not just...
I think it would stop a lot of awkward interactions, you know. It's always like, is she looking at me, is she not? You know, it's like,
it's
oh, no.
Black Mirror stuff, but, you know, who's to say? Maybe it is. All right, well, listen, I mean, the more young... I'm not a young person anymore. I don't really know necessarily what's right or wrong, but I think if people have an education and understanding to... do what they're going to do anyway safely, but also that they anything that's being done is being done with the consent of both and respectfully as well. I mean, so we'll see. He's going to have a good week anyway.
Aye, we plan to.
Don't overdo it.
Oh, no. We haven't done it yet anyway.
Yeah, don't overdo it because, you know, yourself. Less is more sometimes. All right. All this information is being distributed out through the ATU, obviously, to all the... the various people that are studying there and what have you, so they'll be well aware of it, and just let the general public know. Anything you want to add, lads?
Yeah, so just make sure to, you know, keep following us on our Instagram and our Facebook. You can get us by just searching simply ATU Students Union Donegal and you get all the information. We run loads of campaigns. It's not just about sexual health awareness. We, you know, there's also biodiversity and EDI and obviously RAG Week last week, where we haven't finished counting yet, but we raised thousands of euros for charity.
Yes.
We do, and everything we do is for the students. If you're a student listening, please do get in touch with us with any issue you have at all.
Barry Breslin, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Welfare officer with Students Union at the ATU. Aina McDermott, education communications officer with the Students Union at the ATU. Both of you, thank you very much. Have a great week. Enjoy.
An absolute pleasure, Greg.
Right, take care. Cheers. Right, let's welcome on to the programme our regular contributor from the Tyrconnell Tribune. I always like to wait till you've got the paper out, John, because I don't want to put you under too much pressure, you know. Paper out last night, available today. Good morning to you, John.
Don't be worrying about it, Greg.
I'll be worried about you, John. Pressure. I'll be worried about you. Pressure's for tyres, says you. Right, okay, we wanted your views on the return of Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. I mean, probably one of the worst kept secrets in politics. The kites were being flown for quite some time now. Does this simply fall down on political allegiance? You know, if you're Fine Gael or Sinn Féin, just to use those two, you might be on the fence a little bit or completely opposed. If you're in Fianna Fáil, you think this is the best thing ever. Is it as simple as that?
I don't think it is as simple as that. Remember that Bertie Ahern led the country on three occasions, 97, 2002, and again in 2007. The Flood Tribunal, the Mahon Tribunal, inquiring into certain aspects of planning irregularities in and around the Dublin area. And that was ongoing for years, and it was coming to an end. And Bertie was a man of the people. He was a big, big popular visitor here to Donegal, to Letterkenny. He got to know people very, very quickly. And he had a great appeal. No other party leader in Fianna Fáil could ever do what Bertie did. Exactly what he did do, we will never find out, because, you know, the Mahon Tribunal found that he had failed to truthfully account for the sources of his bank accounts. And the new Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin, in 2012, moved very quickly to have him put down a motion of expulsion. And Bertie jumped before that motion was put down because it was going to be carried. But Martin said afterwards that Ahern had betrayed the trust of the party and the country. Remember, those are two very, very salient things that he said about him. Where do you come back, or how could you come back from that?
But there has to be a pathway back, though, doesn't there? I mean, you know, we also, do we not have to recognise people's contributions? And if people do wrong too, the whole judicial system is built on, you know, punishment, but rehabilitation. I mean, there must come a point that, you know, if you have done wrong in the past, that you have served your time, no?
Well, if you only look at the late Neil Breenish case, he was expelled with Charlie Haughey in 1971, and for the rest of his political career, once he died in 1995, he never managed to get back into Fianna Fáil. So you have to look at it against backgrounds of that kind. I know Haughey got back in, maybe he crawled back in. Breenish was never going to do that. I don't have anything terribly against Bertie Ahern. I don't know where Fianna Fáil is going at the moment. I don't quite understand their modus operandi right now. I know that the Good Friday, the 25th anniversary of it, is coming up, and that's going to be quite a big thing. In fairness, Bertie Ahern played a very big role in that, as did many others, as did Gerry Adams, as did Tony Blair and Bill Clinton and John Hume, and right across the political spectrum. Let us not forget all of those, David Trimble and all of those people across Northern Ireland. But is it a time to have a big celebration for the Good Friday Agreement, given the impasse that you have, you have an assembly that is completely out of context and that they can't get it to sit?
And also to people's faith in an interesting poll recently as to how people might vote if that proposition was put to them again. It shows, you know, a very divided Northern Ireland in relation to that question. It is you know, the celebration doesn't feel like the right word, does it?
But, you know, we're putting the cart before the horse here. We're doing polls without any preparation whatsoever as to what an All-Ireland would look like post the conflict and reunification. We'd have to come to terms with exactly what reunification actually means. It's going to mean some different things to all of us. But Bertie Ahern would have played a very prominent role in that, as did Albert Reynolds. Albert Reynolds was probably the man who kick-started the peace process with Gerry Adams. But Ahern has probably other ambitions, I would imagine.
Well, let me put it to you like this. Is this really the next part of a job? In other words, like, I don't see, and this is, maybe it's telling, maybe it's not, I don't see a queue of leading Fianna Fáil representatives looking to get into the papers or maybe onto this show to welcome the fact, because maybe at this point there's still a bit of toxicity there. Some would see you trying to defend the indefensible. But of course, we have seen Bertie Ahern return to RTE. He's a very regular guest there. News Talk have him on a regular basis. Then we have this, and we talk about his contribution to the Good Friday Agreement. And then we make our way in a couple of short years to the presidency. So this is part of a process rather than the end of the journey, I wonder, because this is being very well managed, John. You know yourself, it's being very well managed.
It's been very well managed, but I mean, can Fianna Fáil manage things given where they are in the polls, or is this just a shot in the dark that might kickstart them and give them a 5-point increase in polls? I doubt that very much, because, you know, there are people out there waiting to talk to Bertie Ahern to try and get some rationale from him about the Shamrock economics that he probably didn't have a lot to do with, but he'll come under a lot of scrutiny about his bank accounts. That hasn't going to go away. There is a legacy there. Fianna Fáil are trying to rehabilitate Bertie as a leader rather than anything else, I think. And if the Good Friday Agreement is going to be used to do that, so be it. That is their decision. I'm not too sure how that's going to go down with the public. I know that some of the polling companies did a straw poll maybe about this time last year. They were thinking about Bertie Ahern, and there was overwhelming support to bring him back. And of course, there's overwhelming support within the party to bring him back. But is it the right thing to do, given that it was the first time that a new Fianna Fáil leader was going to put down a motion to have a former leader expelled? You can't get beyond that without some just mere passionate by and saying nothing about it. Oh, it's just something happened that, you know, like it's over and done with. But the question is, the findings of the Mahon Tribunal are not over and done with. This is a tribunal that was the most costly ever in the history of this state, costing somewhere north of maybe 300,000. And, you know, it was never going to be totally inclusive, because it went on for years and years and years, maybe 9 years, they were asked almost to investigate something that there weren't going to be clear answers to, but to have found that a former Taoiseach had failed to truthfully account for the sources of his bank accounts is a very, very big no for Bertie Ahern.
Right. So then are you saying that we don't really know which way the wind's going to blow in terms of this announcement? Do you think this could, as opposed to have a boost for Fianna Fáil in the polls, could it have the opposite effect? Could it say, right, it's back to more of the same, this confirms everything we knew? I'm only putting out some thoughts that might be out there. I'm not expressing any views myself. That this actually could be counterproductive for Fine Gael, or maybe even Fine Gael might feel that this is a bit toxic for them, though there's an awful lot going on there too.
Well, you know, those points that you raise are all very, very valid. Fianna Fáil have probably been doing a bit of research within their own party. From talking to some of the grassroots here in Donegal, they are just not in favour of it.
Right.
They're not terribly opposed to it. It's not going to encourage them to get off their seats on election day, either being at the local elections next year or at the general election, to get up off their seats and go out and vote. Mm. It's going to take a lot more than that to get a lot of the Fianna Fáil grassroots to go back.
It really is quite interesting to see a few of the old faces return. And I don't mean old in terms of age, but that we haven't seen for a while.
Yeah.
Is that part of then a broader strategy then? Because as I say, you know, there are people back involved that I perhaps didn't expect to see back involved again around the country.
Yeah, but there's a generation there going back 20 years, going back 30 years, that would have loved Bertie Ahern, and they would have loved his visits to the tent of the Galway races and all these kind of things. God Almighty, there was adulation when he came to Letterkenny. People running around, they were never going to wash their hands again after he kissed it. Jesus, give my head peace, would you?
There was a bit of that, right? So, come here, in the last minute we have then.
He had hugely popular appeal.
And still do, and people defended him to the hilt. And I remember people around me, it didn't matter what he did, it was leave the man alone. I'm sure there's still some of that out there. But
you know something, Fianna Fáil was riding the crest of a wave at that time. They were riding an absolute crest of a wave. Bertie Ahern had come in, he had been Minister for Labour, he had been Minister for Finance, he could do no wrong. And I mean, he drank in Fagan's pub in Drumcondra, and she like that made him. He shook hands with Bono every so often, and he was pictured at Croke Park. And, the building boom, as he called it, was never going to end. Well, he ended up then just being literally just having to walk away from it. And I mean, that is politics. Can you revive a career of that kind? Is that what they want to do? Those are all the questions that we're not able to answer this morning.
Okay, we'll find out over the course of 2 years then, finally.
Yeah, we will.
How do you think he would do? Now, remember, of course, there's another 2 years to work on his public persona. How do you think he will do in the presidential elections in 2025?
2025 is a bit away. We don't know what candidates may emerge there, what intellectuals. Bertie Ahern will always have an appeal with the grassroots of Dublin. He could do very, very well. He is a renowned Dublin man. He's a man of the people. He never rose above a station, just as a true blue Drumcondra man. And that is something that would carry a lot of weight still. Maybe not with the younger generation. I would have mixed views on that, given the circumstances.
But there could be the argument that the younger generation might find a different candidate, and that maybe Bertie Ahern would get an older generation out, harking back to better times, out to vote. So you just wouldn't know. John, listen, I just can't see him swinging a younger crowd, and maybe that's not what they're looking for. Listen, it's always a pleasure. John, have a lovely Thursday. Chat to you soon.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks very much. John McAteer there of the Chicconnell Tribune.